We have a couple things to discuss about tomorrow, Baruch Hashem, but we'll start by learning Torah, and specifically by learning Torah about Torah, because that's exactly what we're up to right now. The Rambam has been taking us on a chronological tour of the history of Torah, specifically the history of Torah Shema Peh. We began in Moshe Rabbeinu's yeshiva, and then we watched, the Rambam took us through the period specifically of Sefer Devarim, the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, that watershed moment in the history of Halacha, when Lo Bashamayim, he sets in, revelation is no longer a pathway to learning Torah, to Paskin and Shilas, to figuring out the Dinim. And with the rise of Yehoshua, Rambam took the opportunity to take a long and important excursion to talk about what Nevuah is and what Nevuah isn't, and the role of the Navi within the system of Halacha, within the context of Halacha. Whether or not you are a Navi, whether or not you are a Ruchnius leader, is itself a Halacha question, and the Halacha has plenty to say about it, in terms of how you determine who's even eligible to be a Navi, what sorts of messages are Nevuah eligible messages within the Halacha system, and then what the Halacha has to say about how you certify and verify Navi. And then, the mitzvah, Elav Tishma, the unique mitzvah of Shemia El HaNavi once he has been halachically established. Then, the Rambam continued to the historical chain of Masora, and he spoke about continuing the next line in the first mission of us, the death of Yehoshua, Psukim, the end of Sefer Yehoshua, the mission beginning of us, death of Yehoshua, and the passing of that Masora to the Zakenim, and from there through the Nevi'im. The Rambam here had not listed all the Nevi'im Bifrat. If you look at the Hagadamah to Mishnah Torah, which he wrote later in his life, he does. He does give you from Yehoshua to Pinchas, I think, looking this over Shavuos, probably missing one or two links, but something like Yehoshua to Pinchas, to Eli, to Shmuel, to David, to Achia Shiloni, to Eliyahu, to Elisha, and then from there, I think it begins to move to the Treasar, Zechariah, Hosea, then back to Yeshaya, then more the Treasar, Nachum, Chavakuk, Tzefania, and so forth, all the way until where he picks up here, with Yirmiyahu, and then Baruch, Yirmiyahu's Talmud, who passed on the Masorah to Ezra, and then here the Rambam had listed in detail, as he does in the Hakdamah to Mishnah Torah. Here he lists in detail the chain of Masorah throughout the Zugos, which reminds us that one of the primary functions of the first parak of Avos is to trace the primary chain of Masorah. And that takes us to Hillel, and that takes us all the way down through the descendants of Hillel to Yehuda HaNasi, the next major stop, next major station on this train that the Rambam is driving us on, following the chain of Masorah. And it's at Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. For us as a chevra, this is going to be the last station at which we spend time together as a chevra, at least within the context of Shanas Tavshin Pei Beis. I do hope that today is our last morning machshav of the Zman, I believe. Od Chazon Lamoed. In Mirtz Hashem, there will be many, many more opportunities, I hope, and Davin, we get together as Chevra, but within the context of the Zman of Tavshin Pei Beis, the Zman of Tavshin Pei Beis is coming to its crescendo. So I hope that you will continue. If this has whet your appetite, hopefully you'll continue to. As Rambam takes us all the way through the period of the Amoraim and on, in the context of the period of Amoraim, the major focus is on Agada. Within the context of Yehuda HaNasi, where we're at right now, the focus is on Halacha, and specifically the parts of the Torah Shema Peh. And we had left off last time, I believe, on the bottom of page Lamed Zayin, going on to Lamed Ches, after he tracks the chain of Masorah from Yehuda HaNasi back to Yehoshua from Moshe Rabbeinu, Kasher Ki Beitz HaShitz of Mamorim. Now that we had seen last time, he had focused on Yehuda HaNasi's unique talents and unique resources with Shakash Baruch had blessed him. He had exceptional chachma, exceptional midos, exceptional finances, and exceptional linguistic skill. And that allowed him to bring Chachma Yisrael together. Rambam does not stress as much. There's also anomalous peace, the Gemara points out, in terms of the relationship between Am Yisrael and the Roman Empire, which controlled Eretz Yisrael. There was a rare moment, an interlude of peace during the leadership of the Yehuda HaNasi. And those five factors together allowed for Yehuda HaNasi to bring Chachma Yisrael together in a way that had not really been together probably since the days of a functioning Sanhedrin during the Bais Sheni period, maybe even before then. And that allowed him to gain the Chachma Yisrael together, to pull together all the different traditions that different Tanaim had, from their Rebbeim, from the Rebbeim's Rebbeim. Heichel b'chibur ha-mishnah. Now he puts together both the finances they had at his disposal that allowed him practically to fund this project, and the linguistic skill that Rambam had mentioned in the previous paragraph, that he had such remarkable skill with the Hebrew language. Heichel b'chibur ha-mishnah. So Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi not only gathers Chachma Yisrael together to learn and to work Shilas out together, but also to create a text. Hakolalas Perish Kolam Mitzvahs Aksuvos BaTorah. And this, the way the Rambam thinks about the Mishnayos is so Rambam-esque. He says, what is Mishnayos? It includes the Perish of all the mitzvahs that are written in Chumash. Which is like one little phrase. It takes us back to the opening sentence here and the opening sentence in the Hakdamat Mishnah Torah and puts it all together. Because Tar Shabbat Peh, at the core Tar Shabbat Peh, is the Perish, as he had said, of the mitzvos, which are the building blocks of Chum, of Halacha and Chumash. So that's what Mishnayos are going to include, the core of Tar Shabbat Peh. The core of Tar Shabbat Peh, remember he had said at the very beginning, and he's about to go back to, the core of Tar Shabbat Peh was given by HaKadosh Baruch to Moshe Rabbeinu, and it included the basic Perish of every mitzvah. Says that makes it into Mishnayos. Mishnayos don't have every detail. They're not meant to have every detail, but they do include the core. They do include the core. The Perish Kol HaMitzvah Ksuvos HaTorah. And in this phrasing, he's also reminding us of the unity of Torah Shebech Tzav and Torah Shebech Peh. And he is, in line with Rav Shailat's take, that the Rambam here is showing his colors as a someone who saw Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi as his hero, that if the Havdol Alfei Havdolos, if the Rambam had a poster up on his bedroom wall, it would have been a poster of Yehuda HaNasi. Yehuda HaNasi was his hero. We should all have Chachmei Yisrael and Tzadikim and Baalei Midos as our heroes. So Rav Shailat thinks that there are many subtle indications that Rambam really saw. He was trying to model himself after Yehuda HaNasi in many ways. The term Mishnah Torah should not be lost on us. That he was trying to, and he writes Beferish in the letter, one of the letters we did not see, the letter to Yefes, to Pinchas Adai, in the letter that he wrote about the writing of the Mishnah Torah, he writes that Mishnah Torah was meant to be in the style of Mishnayos and the language of Mishnayos. It's a chibur, it's not a perish, it's not conversational, it's not expository, like, it's not analytic like Gemara, it's meant to be a listing of dinim like Mishnayos. And as a matter of fact, the Rambam's explanation of why he did not include Machloksin is rooted in applying what the Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi writes in Agios, why he did sometimes include Machlokas. And it's Balashan HaMishnah. He didn't write in Aramaic. He wrote in sort of a neo-Mishnaic Hebrew. But it's more than that. It's like the Rambam we've seen throughout the year opens every section by saying this Hilcha such and such is about the following mitzvahs, and Be'er mitzvahs eilu v'prakim eilu. Mishnah Torah is all a Be'er on the mitzvahs. He's not surprisingly sees Mishnayos in that lens as well. Mishnayos are a perish of the mitzvahs. Mishnayos don't begin with a list of mitzvahs the way Mishnah Torah does. Okay, it's not as explicit. Rambam says, I'm building my Mishnah Torah modeling after Mishnayos. And what do Mishnayos include? Here we go back to the core question of what are the contents of Torah Shabbat Peh. Because right now he's not really going to talk about Mishnayos per se. He'll get later on. We're not going to be focusing on that. Later, a couple pages later, After he talks about what he wants to talk about, he then talks about, you know, what's included in every Seder. But our focus is the excursion. Because what he wants to talk about first is the contents of Mishnayos are the parts of Torah Shvah Peh. Mimena shmus mekubals moshe Rabbeinu Alav Hashalom. Mimena dinim shehutzu behekesh ein behemachlokes. Mimena dinim shehutzu nafa behemachlokes. By two basic sources of halacha. Halacha is either, some of us might be the Therish and the Psukim, the Torah Shvah Peh is either a direct tradition from Moshe, or what Chachmei Yisrael derived from mining the Psukim, discovering the nuggets of meaning that Kadosh Baruch Hu left embedded for us to find. And as he points out here once again, you're not going to find machlokas in Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, as he stresses a few lines down, Mi Moshe Vad Rav Ashi, all throughout the 40 links in the chain, from Moshe Rabbeinu through Chasimas HaTalmud, you're not going to find machlokas. And here he points out something we had spoken about a couple weeks ago, that every once in a long while you have an inverted sugya in Shas. Every once in a long while, you'll have a sugya where the question is, how do you understand this pasuk? And everyone comes to the same conclusion, but with many different ways of getting there. There he says, "Ikaroi shetamod alav haperushim mekubalim imosha ein machlokas ben mishum panim." Those perushim are their mekubalim, and it's going to be true in general for halachas Moshe Mitzrayim. But a perush on mekubal specifically when it's giving pshat in a pasuk, may only the matzon machlokas shenafa ben chachamim bezman min hazman imosha ad rivashi. Throughout those 40 links in the chain, you never find one of the chachamim masara who believed that mishasime ein adam tisame eino. L'mamar Hashem, ayin ba'ayin. God told us in the Chumash that ayin tachas ayin, ayin ba'ayin. But you don't find any of the Chachmei Masorah who are of the opinion that we should interpret that literally and actually take out an eye for an eye. The Amar Achash Adam and Bavad Hu Chayev. L'matzanu gamke machos l'mamar Hashem priyets adar. You don't find anyone who disagree, and no one in the Chachmei Masorah disagree in terms of how you understand priyets adar. You don't find one says it's an esrog, another says it's a parish, or it's a pomegranate, or so on and so forth. Or eitz avos, which is a hadas. Or vikatzosa es kapa, shehu adamim. When the pasuk talks about the din of boshas, the psukim talk about the din of boshas. The example the Chumash gives is two men are in a fight, and one of them, the wife of one, lunges at the other. The wife of one of them lunges at the man who's fighting with her husband and lunges at him in a particularly embarrassing way. So the Torah says, V'katzosa es kapa. You cut off, literally, you cut off her hand. Rambam says, once again, we don't find any of the Chachmei Masorah who believes that the punishment for physically embarrassing someone else is corporal punishment. Everyone has agreed that it's damim. Or bas ish kohen ki sechel is nos as avia hi mechalelas ba'esh tisareif. Torah says a kohenes is mezana, she's chayev misa sreif in particular. It says it's unanimous among the Chachamim and Masorah that's a subset of the halachas of eish tisareif. That means if you have a married woman, adultery both for the man and woman involved is a capital crime. If the woman involved, married woman involved, is a bas kohen, so then the misa gets bumped up from chenek to sreifa. But the pasuk is not explicit about that. Ubas ish kohen kisachel is nos. You could read it literally just being any even a single bas kohen who is mezana is chayev misa. He says we don't find any of the chachmei masorah who disagreed on that. No one said da onesh lo yikuin by elim kain haisa ish ish. That is unanimous. And he gives more examples. The Torah talks about skila in the case of a woman gets married. She's not a basula. Chayiv skila. Parsha and Kiseitze. So he says, if you just read the psukim literally, it sounds like she had a premarital relations and she's chayiv misa. But he says, it's unanimous on the Chachamim Masorah that also is a subset a particular case of Esh Az Esh, and so on and so forth. And so on and so forth. He says, so what do you make of that? It's giving there a couple of lines. It's clearly Mekubal Misinai. The reason why no one's disagreeing is because the conclusion is foregone. In the Chachmas HaMikra HaNosun, Efshel Hotzi Menu Eila Purishim Ba'afanim and Akashim. Because of the wisdom of the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote the Chumash, we can look for clues. Kasher Tir Aim, the Rambam writes, near the bottom of page Lamed Ches. Batalmud, Nosim V'Nosim V'Nechlokim HaMerechas Ha'in. When you come across the Gemara where they're arguing of how to darshan the psukim, umivin rayal davar me'ela peirushim v'damehim. They're bringing proofs to such a peirush, like kriyat hadar. So they have different. The sugyan sukkah has different makoros. Hitametu peirushavin. That's one raya that's esrog, or priyadar bilad mishana l'shana. Another raya that kriyat hadar is esrog, or priyadar kol mayim. A third raya that priyatar is esrog, but it's not b'pnei shadar masupa getzlam. It's not because they had a suffix, because everyone is coming to the same conclusion. And the same thing for the hadas, and the same thing for ayin tachasayin, and so on and so forth. And then let's skip a little bit, because he goes on to say over the course of page lamites that there's a separate term. Halacha l'moshe misinai. Halacha l'moshe misinai is when there's no source in the Chumash, he says. And he gives a list on page Lamites of what he thinks are most of the halachas l'moshe misinai. Most of the halachas l'moshe misinai. And then he heads into where we're going to close up for this morning, which is the list of the what are the contents of Torah Shabbat. Eh? Before I talk about that, a note about this list. You see the Rama has a list of around 40 items. Halacha Moshe Sinai is good, lava, dof, nakuma, shiurin, tefillin, and so on and so forth. You turn the page to that page mem, it's around 40. He says, these are most, if not all, of the Halacha Moshe Sinai. The Chavis Yair, Tshuva Sefer written by an early Achrab, Yair Bachrach, I believe. So he has two kashas on the Rambam, which the Netziv solves both of them with a single answer. Chavis Yair says, he has a tshuva where he attacks this Rambam, and he says, I don't know what the Rambam is talking about. He says, he had a list of 40 or so halachas on Shri Sinai. He thought this was most, if not all of them. I have a list of 200. 160. I mean, it's like an enormous list of halachas and moshav yisina. That's what the Rambam is talking about. Problem number one. Problem number two, Rambam says, you never find a machlokas in halachas and moshav yisina. Look at all these machlokas in halachas and moshav yisina. Sororos begin in the second paragraph above a comma, and so on and so forth. That's the Chavis Yair, as I believe, asks both of those questions. The Netziv, in one of his introductions to his parish in the Shiltos, answers both questions with a single solution, which is the following. Listen carefully. One of the terms that we often associate with Halacha Moshe Misinai is Hilchas Gemiri La. Another term is Gemara Gemiri La. We have a Gemara, we have a tradition. And the Netziv says, we assume that those two things mean the same because that's what Rashi told us. Because Rashi throughout Shas, and sometimes Tosfos also says, Gemara Gemiri La, Halacha Moshe Misinai. He says, that's what Rashi said. The Rambam is not obligated to follow Rashi. And it says, if you follow Rambam's carefully, the Mishnah Torah, when the Gemara says, Halachas Gemiri La, the Rambam say, Halacha Moshe Misinai. He'll translate into Hebrew. When the Gemara says, Gemara Gemiri La, tradition, the Rambam will say, it's Mipi HaShemua Lamdu. It's from tradition, from that which was heard. And the Netziv suggests that the Halachas Gemiri La's make it to this list. The Gemara Gemiri La's do not make it to this list. Because he thinks that the Rambam understood that those two terms meant two different things. Unlike Rashi, who equated Hilchas Gemiri La, Gemara Gemiri La, Netziv thinks that the Rambam held Hilchas Gemiri La means Halacha Moshe Sinai. We have a tradition that this was taught from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu. Gemara Gemiri La means we have a tradition, an ancient tradition. Mipi HaShemua Lamdu, as Rambam will typically translate. It's from the Shemua. It's from the oral tradition. It's what we heard. But but not necessarily that's halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. In other words, Gemara Gemirula, according to the Rambam, means we have an ancient tradition going back to our Rebbeim. We know this is the din, but we're not sure whence it comes. We're not sure the original sources. Is this original halacha Moshe Mitzrayim? No. It's a drasha that some, maybe Yeshayahu, maybe Chavakuk, whose haftarah we learned yesterday. Maybe Chavakuk darshan is. We're not sure what the drasha was, but we know, stare decisis, we know that this is a very ancient din. But we don't know its provenance. That's how what the Netziv suggests. The Rambam understood these two, unlike Rashi, these two phrases mean two different things. They're similar. They both mean it's well-established halacha based on long masora, but halacha is a gemilah means the actual halacha Moshe Sinai. Gemara gemilah means it's an ancient din, probably darshan by some chacham 1,000 years ago. We're not sure what the drasha is. We know that this is a well accepted din. So that solves both the problem of some of the machloks in that you find halachas Moshe Sinai. Sometimes the answer to machloks Moshe Sinai is, as we saw in the sugya of Sirtut, that the we may all agree what the halacha Moshe says, we may disagree appropriately on how to interpret it. Okay, if the Chumash requires Sirtut, we can debate how about if it's written as mezuzah, but if it's written as tefillin. But the Netziv is suggesting that sometimes you'll find a machlokas on halacha Moshe Sinai, because according to Rama, it's not halacha Moshe Sinai, it's a Gemara Gemirula. And that answers the Chavas Yar's question. Why did the Rambam leave out what the Chavas Yar felt with the vast majority of halachas Moshe Sinai? Rambam has such a short list, around 40. The answer is because the Rambam is only listing the Hilchos Gemirulas or halacha Moshe Sinai, not the Gemara Gemirulas. And that brings us finally to the last leg of what we're going to focus on this morning together. And that begins on page Mem. Page Mem. Apiyai karma ela sherek dam, the Rambam says. Now that we had a chance to develop these ideas a little bit, and these core ideas, root ideas, nechalakim ha-dinim ha-chakukim ba-tor la-chamisha chalakim. We can now divide all dinim into five categories. What's the content of Torah Shavapeh? Five categories. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu teach Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai? Four things. Number one, he taught him Torah Shebichzav, the text of Chumash. Number two, and number three, are the first two chalakim that the Rambam lists. Chelak HaRishon, HaPerush HaMekubal MiMoshe, the basic interpretation of different psukim, which were taught to Moshe. Yeshlem HaRoah BaKasuv, or Efshol Shitzim BeHekesh. A perish hamakubal is again in our terminology. We would have just called it halacha Moshe Sinai, but the Rambam is being specific and divine halacha Moshe Sinai into two categories. Category one is a perish hamakubal, where it's an interpretation. Hashem taught Moshe Rabbeinu this din on Har Sinai, but either as an interpretation of a pasuk or at least something that you can derive from a pasuk. Eilei machlokas yolam. You're not going to have machlokas. Why? Kashayom adam kibalti kach v'kach mistal kevikuach. Once someone says, I have a reliable tradition, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, there's no basis for a rational debate anymore. Chel Kasheni, Hadim Asher Nemar V'hem Halacha Moshe Sinai, Ein Raya Lehem Kosher Zacharno. These also have no machlokas. Again, what we have called Halacha Moshe Sinai, Rambam is divided into two categories, Perish HaMakubal and Halacha Moshe Sinai.
Why are they arguing about it anymore?
As Rambam had said before, even though by Perush HaMekubalim, when you have those inverted sugyas, so even though we know what the din is, Mechachmas HaMikra, as he put it, part of there's value to seeing if you can where you can find this din rooted in the Pesukim, even though it's not going to change the outcome. The conclusion is foregone. Unlike Chelak HaShlishi is those din in which we derive from Bidarche HaHekesh, through logical inference, through the Mishnah Torah judgment, and there you can have machlokas, tiba machlokas, kemoshe zacharnu, and if you have machlokas, we'll pass on like the rove, kemoshe yasadnu, and this is kasher yia inyan shokul mitzad ha'iyun, when there's multiple potential ways to think about it rationally, and this is the, now he finally quotes the line that we have been quoting in learning the Rambam. Now he quotes it from Yivamas Ayin Vav, We're at number 46 if you're looking for a landmark. Im halacha nekabel, im ledin yesh tshuva. If what you're telling me is a halacha mishnah, I'll just accept it. But im ledin, if you're darshaning, if you're analyzing, says yesh tshuva, I can respond. If there's no tradition, so then we can figure out. And he says that's the standard machlokas. All throughout Shas, Amorim are trying to figure out why did they argue. We have a machlokas in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Akiva. But my Kamithri, what are they arguing about? My time with Rabbi Ploni. What's his rationale? My Benayu. Usually my Benayu is what's an afkamina, but I think we came across this year. And my Benayu, which was B'mai Kamifli. Not what's the consequence, but what's the root of the machlokas. Lefi shepa amya view dvarim bezehain in biksas makamos. Sometimes the Gemara will explain what the root of the machlokas is. Why is the Rambam stressing this? So here's the Rambam's final point in this conversation. Why has the Rambam been stressing? And some of you are zoning out a little bit. Okay, I heard this already. You told me this five times. Okay, some things are chomer shesina. Some things are hutsa min hekesh. Hutsa min hekesh. You can't machlokes. Who cares? Here the Rambam explains why we care. Because he says, I want you to. What the Rambam is telling us is really earth shattering. Because the Rambam is really getting to is where does machlokes come from? And he says that there were many Gaonim, he doesn't name them, perhaps out of respect, but it was a popular idea during the Tkufas HaGaonim that, you know, the Gemara says that Yerushalmi and Peya, Komash Talmud Vasig Asal Chash Vasnei Rabbo, anything that worthy Talmud is going to be Chash in front of his Rebbe, if a good Har and Shir, Farnemer Lemoshe Mesina, any good Har anyone's going to have in Shir is already said to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Har Sinai from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You take the Yerushalmi literally, it sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu every single Chiddush. In all the future, in all the 3,000+ years of Jewish learning to come, Ad Bias Gal Tzedek, in the Heir Yavo, everything was already taught to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the literal meaning of that Yerushalmi. Oh, so much so, it almost sounds like, you know, some went so as far as to say, yeah, Moshe already knew. Abai is going to say this, and Rav is going to say that, and the Rambam is going to say this, and Rav is going to say that. Becomes a little absurd. I mean, everyone had the play script. Everyone had the script. Everyone knew what they're supposed to say. No one ever gave me a script. I guess I don't count. What does it mean? It's all already preset. Who's going to say what? Every single and more so, even if you don't take it that extreme, what is machlokas then? What are drashos, and what is machlokas? If you assume like the Gaonim that every last detail was said l'Moshe b'Sinai, at first it sounds like wow, that's impressive. Mesorah is so robust. But then you think about some more, you say, Mesorah is so non-robust. You mean every single machlokas, how many machlokas are there in Shas? Thousands, at least. In Mishnayos alone, there are thousands of machlokas. And there are over 4,000 Mishnayos. I think it's around 4,190 Mishnayos in Shas. So how many, what do you have, like an average of close to one machlokas per Mishnah, or more or less? Thousands of machlokas in the Mishnayos alone. Forget about Tosefta. Forget about Sefra, Sefrei, Bavi, Yerushalmi. Tens of thousands of machlokas among Tanam and Avraham. Where the Rambam says, what's that? You mean they were all based, according to the Gaonim, every machlokas is a result of what? Someone had wax in their ears. Someone didn't hear what the Rebbe said. Someone forgot. Someone misunderstood. Every single machlokas, tens of thousands of machlokas among the Tanam and Amram, all the result of irresponsibility. Take a look. The bottom of page Mem. Machsheves mishachoshev. The thought, the opinion out there, these Gaonim, Sha'adin Mishnachu behem mehem, Gamke Mekubal Moshe, that everything is a Kabbal Moshe, right? Even all the things are mutl machlokas.
Nafa machlokes b'derech ha'tos b'shmuz ha'ashikcha. Every machlok is the result either of mistake, of error, or of forgetting. One got it right, other one got it wrong. Every single machlokas is that way. Or you didn't hear, you didn't pay enough attention to your Rebbe. He says, it's true. They bring a raya from the Gemara in Sota. They didn't have as much connection with the Rabbeim. Rav said machlokas b'Yisrael. That's when machlokas really took off. B'shayim b'Yisrael. Nas is a Turkish state Taurus. It began to develop. It seemed almost like there are two different religions. The Beisham religion and the Basil religion. So he says, the Gaon brought it right. Oh, you see that there was more machlokas when they weren't paying as much attention to the Ravim. So Rambam said at the top of page, Mem Aleph, he knew how to be sharp when he wanted to. Hinei zeh, God knows. This is one of the most disgusting things that anyone has ever said. Hinei zeh Hashem ha-yodea min ha-ma'amarim ha-mechuarim ha-megunim ma'od. It's such a disgusting, gross thing to say, the Rambam says. If you care so deeply about Torah, and Chachmei Mosarim says, that's disgusting. V'hem divim misha'en o'masig. It's also that bespeaks such a lack of understanding. Ein medaktik b'ikarim. You don't know ikari emuna. And you don't know the roots of how Gemara works. Matel dofi ba'anashim asher hiskal b'ma Torah. Really? You're attaching such a low opinion to Chachmei to Matika Masora. I think Rav Aaron Lichtenstein in one essay words this as we must absolve our sages of indolence. We can't accuse Chazal of being radically lazy. In every single machlokas is a result of someone forgot, someone didn't pay attention. Tens of thousands machlokas of Chazal. Rambam says that incomprehensible. That's what you think of Chachmei Mosarim? What type of Mosarim do you believe in? Everything was a mistake? Everything was just someone dropping the ball? Of course there's human error. Of course the Chachmei Mosarim are human beings who sometimes forgot and sometimes missed it and sometimes didn't understand. But that wouldn't create lasting machlokas. So you discuss and you debate and there's constant cross-checking. Of course, there's human error, but these were people who were not only incredibly brilliant and incredibly reverent and had extraordinary anava, and it felt an incredible sense of responsibility to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his Torah, so they were cross-checking. And they, you missed something in Shir yesterday, you catch up with someone else, and you're maybe, so the Rambam thinks, his mamash never, ever, ever, ever machlokas on something which is a Kabbalah Mimosha. Might there be Rishonim who would say occasionally there is? Perhaps. The Rama says to think that every machlokas is based on shikha or taos, that Rama thinks just is absurd. Elamai. Elamai. So where did the Gaonim get this from? What's their core mistake? Yigrom lazos emuna nefsedes. This spoiled emuna, this defective approach of the Gaonim. Miut ha'asag divrei chachamim nusam b'talmud. A very, very shallow misunderstanding of what Chazal are doing and saying in the Gemara. Matsuki ha'perish mekulim Moshe. The Gaonim did notice that there is a parish that's Mekulam Moshe, that's true. But Zenachon, Kama Shia says, absolutely true. The Kor Tarav Shapeh was taught directly from HaKadosh Baruch with the Moshe Rabbeinu. But V'lo Hevdilu Bin Ikar Ma'amukuvalim V'atolz HaMutsaos. But these Gaonim did not differentiate between the roots, the core that's Mekuval, and the Toldos, the derivative Dinim, that were Mutsa, that are they're derived and discovered using the Mishnah Tanah Yashlehem. He says, so Rambam says, for instance, the machlokas in, I believe, the eighth parak of Brachas, where the mechavnis abayis out, when do you wash your tails to die, before or after you sweep, machlokas b'shayim b'sil b'hil chasuda, neither of those is mekubal mimosha, lo shal mimosha. The Gemara explains what the issue is about shimush ba'amaras. He says, yeah, those are anfei anafim. And that's why he was stressing the bottom of page mem, But yes, most sugyas in Shas are b'maika mifli. B'maika, what are they arguing about? This is not window dressing. In other words, consider that according to the Gaonim, every din is mekubal Moshe. So not only does it mean that every machlokes is a result of either irresponsible not paying attention or irresponsible forgetfulness, but also what's a drasha? Every drasha is just post facto. We already know the din. Now let's figure out if we can find a hook to it in the chumash. In other words, the rare inverted sugyas and shas we can count on the fingers of one or two hands. A pri eitz hadar, an af eitz avos, the ayin tachas. As I talked before, the Rambam thinks the Gaon thought every sugya is like that. Every sugya, the conclusion is foregone. Every sugya, the drushes are just post fact. We know what the din is. Let's figure what the drushes are. Let's see if we can find a remez to it in chumash. Except that the Gaon thought, but in most cases they already were disputing what the mesorah was. Really, Rambam says. So number one, every drasha is just post facto. That takes a lot of wind out of the sails. What were Chazal busy with? And...
Can you say that for the Rambam for the 40 he's referring to?
No, so he says, every once in a while, in a Hanami, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Mishatar and Dreshban primarily to figure out the bulk of the dinim. We could also use those occasionally to see if we can find a remez in the Chumash to halachas and which are perushim amakuba, which halachas of Sinai have a root in the Torah Shebech Zav and which don't. But it's not the primary focus. That's not the telos of the Midrash Torah and Dreshban. And also you'll notice the Rambam, we take these things for granted. Remember he said before in the bottom, now you appreciate what he was saying. In page mem, he said, when you have a machlokes in a echela gimel type of din, let's say, b'maika mifli, what are they arguing about? My time made Rabbi Ploni. What's the reason for the shita? In other words, that's the reason why. The reason why he holds away is because he darshan the pasuk. The pasuk wasn't post facto. The pasuk is the reason why. That is what the language means. Every time the Gemara says, b'maika mifli, every time the Gemara says, my time made Rabbi Yossi. It's the reason why. And then he goes on to say, you want to know about that Misharabu Tamir Shaim Vehil Shoshim Shu called Sarkan. What the Gemara means that in the days of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, there was much more machlokas. So there are different approaches to that. Some say, the Rambam says, they didn't have as much of a chance. There was a time of incredible political instability. Lo shimshu kol tzarkan. Everyone was on the run. They no longer had the chance to sit the yishav hadas and learn with their rebbeim as much as in many of the previous generations. As a result, he says, the koach ha'im was weaker. So memela, they're going to diverge more frequently. That's the Rambam's take on that Gemara. That's what he develops in the middle of page Memal. So they ended up with more situations where different people had divergent views. And he says, fascinatingly, Ein lashim b'chozeh, we don't fault them. Anu lo nechayiv shen hasham ezvachim sheizvaku b'seichel Yeshua Pinchas. We're not going to demand that you every two time Yechamu would debate, have to debate the way Yeshua and Pinchas would have. You're not Yeshua. You're not Pinchas. That's the famous sifrei that we've discussed early in the year. You have to go to Shovet Shibi Amecha. You have to follow the Mechav of your generation. So if they're more skilled, Givald, if they're less skilled than the pre-generation, these are the Chacham that Akash Baruch gave your dar. You have to follow their Piskei Halacha. That's the Rambam's approach to that Gemara and Sota. I think a more popular approach is the one that's developed at length by Rav Margolius, which is not that the Lo Shimshu called Sarkan was the reason why they argued more, but Lo Shimshu called Sarkan is the reason why the arguments endured more. That during that time period, it was becoming much more difficult to convene a Sanhedrin. And if you learn Masechta, those who learn Mishnah Shabbos a couple weeks ago, so if you may remember, some of you will remember Yud Ches Davar. There were these rare opportunities where Beis Shammai were able to get together and vote on things, and then they'd be able to come to conclusions that they both sides would accept. That otherwise they were not, because the Sanhedrin was no longer functioning in a normal way for political reasons. That's because of the Roman regime. That's a Rav Zemachlovis B'Yisrael. The Rambam thinks Rav Zemachlovis, Beis Shammai still had a weaker Koach HaIyun. Most assume they didn't have the opportunity to resolve the Machloksin. In the past, you had a Machlokus and you argued, debated, and the Sanhedrin voted, and that was the end of the story. But the days of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, the system of having a Sanhedrin was breaking down because the Romans were not allowing that to happen on a regular basis. But regardless, as the Rambam wraps up this paragraph, that's when you have machlokas. Lo shem tolim b'shmuos v'kibul echad emes v'acher sheker. It's a question of, we don't know what the din is. We're looking at the psukim, and good men can differ using the same corpus of chumash and the same corpus of mishnah Torah drashas plan, the same corpus of the core of Torah Shebaal Peh Halacha Moshe Sinai, and the precedent of previous generations of Chachmim Mesorah, and Yirah Shamayim, and insight, and Chachmas HaTorah. Two men can differ over what's the most logical way to interpret the psukim using the tools we have, using this corpus, using the tools we have at our disposal. So good men can differ. I mentioned earlier when we were learning a couple weeks ago, this may be perhaps Gödel's continuing hypothesis, and it perhaps. But Emma is probably more adept than I to opine on whether the continuing hypothesis is relevant to this or not. That in a sufficiently complex logical system, there will be statements that are not verifiably true or false. So there will be things which are mutav machlokas. It's built into HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to give us the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to give us Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebapeh. Built into that, therefore, the Rambam says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose that there should be machlokas. It's endemic to the system. It's endemic to the structure HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose for Nesinas HaTorah, the Nesinas HaTorah which we celebrate this week. As a result of which, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose that there should not be ongoing revelation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu built in the system with the death of Moshe Rabbeinu Lo Bashamayimi. So that means those two things together, you're not giving us every last detail, and you're telling us you're going to turn off the faucet of ongoing revelation. So it's endemic, there's going to be, by this divine design, there's going to be machlokas. When you can convene a rov Acher Abul Hato, so shakes us back to the very beginning of the end of the year, and when not, then Mishrab Tamir Sharm Vehillel. So then you're going to have ongoing machlokas because of different legitimate attempts to interpret, and that is Al Pi Pashtus. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chayim means that you can have multiple legitimate attempts to figure out what Ratzon Hashem is. And each one will be a Chetzah Shel Torah, and each one is a candidate to become the Psak HaLacha L'maisa. And then the Rambam closes. The last two Chalakim are not our focus right now, but the first three Chalakim Torah Shel Peh are Doraisa. The last two Chalakim are the Dinu D'Rabbanan. Because in addition to Chazal's power to discover and figure out what Ratzon Hashem is through Torah Mishnah Doraisa, then HaKadosh Baruch also authorized them to legislate new Dinu D'Rabbanan, and that completes the five Chalakim of the Torah Shel Peh. Emet, a question.
Even if there's no Machlokes in the Halacha Moshe Sinai, isn't there still some kind of Machlokes based on making mistakes? Like, for example, different letters in Ashkenazi and Sephardi?
Yeah, so that's what I was saying before. And the truth is, as Sefrei already mentions, there were rare instances of divergences between different Sefrei Torah. That's already, I believe, a Sefrei at the end of Chumash. That's what I was saying before. There might be, and this is where at least with Chavos Yar softens around a little bit. Maybe you may have occasional. You might have rare machlokas on tradition. If one side has a tradition, the other one doesn't, it malachi in a kabel. In the case where both sides have a tradition, to try and figure out whose tradition is more accurate. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose that the Torah should be given through human beings, with all of our strengths and weaknesses. Will there be human error occasionally? Sure. But the vast, vast, vast majority of the time, those errors will be, because you're dealing with Chachamim Masorah who are wise and humble and responsible and reverent, all four of those, as a result, as you learn Pirkei Avos, you realize that mistakes will be rare and almost always will be ironed out. And people are serious about the Torah and responsible about the Torah and humble enough to not stand their ground. As a matter of fact, that's one of the points that Gemara makes about one of the structural pieces of Mishnayos is that Beis Shammai always appear before Beis Hillel. Even though Yehuda Nasi was a member of Beis Hillel. But that was the method of Beis Hillel. To be comfortable putting other people first. And as the Mishnayos point out in Adios, to every once in a while the Mishnayos will say that someone changed his mind, including Yehuda Nasi, because or Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, because that's a critically important lesson. To be a member of the Chachamim Masorah wasn't enough to be smart. You had to be a humble person who cared about emes more than one's own ego. So mistakes will happen occasionally, rarely, and when they do happen, they'll almost invariably be sorted out. So yes, if you think about, there are the daka with an aleph with a hey. And even the days of the Tanoim, the days of Ezra, seems like there were tiny divergences. They were trying to figure out which is the accurate Masorah. But you think about percentages. You think about how many places the Sefer Torah has traveled over the last 3,000 years, how many letters there are in a Sefer Torah, and what percentage is divergent, what percentage is not. The rove is overwhelming. And so that's a tribute to, yes, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to give the Torah to human beings. There will be human error, but the vast majority of the time, the sort of human beings who transmit the Torah will, A, not make the mistakes or catch them on their own, or if not, they'll catch each other, they'll seek to cross-check with each other. So enduring error will be very, very rare.
Even if, the percentage overall of the time where a mistake leads to machlokas is rare, if you just look at the cases where there is a machlokas, could that percentage be more significant? Meaning, if you look at all of halacha, the percentage of a case where someone made a mistake that led to a machlokas is very small.
Right.
But if you only look at the cases where there is a machlokas, could it be a larger percentage?
How many of those machlos of halacha Moshe from Sinai? I think it's also very small. It's a little harder to quantify. I mean, it's easiest to study the text of Chumash is something that's easier to quantify. And there, we could say the divergence between extant Sefer Torah right now is basically that one letter, Daka with the Aleph of the Hay, and you figure out how many tens, hundreds of thousands of letters there are in Chumash, and think about the number of miles and number of centuries that miut is an extraordinarily impressive miut. In terms of machloksim among Tanam and Amoraim, it's a little hard to quantify. We have, as I said before, tens of thousands of machloksim among the Tanam and Amoraim, for sure. How many of them are on something that was originally Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim? It's hard to determine directly. I mean, that's exactly part of the machlokas around the Gaonim. Was everything Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim or not? But there it's sort of harder to directly ascertain. But looking at Chumash, which is not identical, but it's certainly very similar in many ways, the number is impressive. Is it possible to be slightly more error than something that doesn't have a fixed text? Yes. But still, the magnitude, the tiny magnitude of the ratio of letters that are not in machlokes, but letters are machlokes in Chumash, speaks volumes about the quality of the Chachamim Masorah. Yeah. Right. Good. So let's wrap it all up by answering Ellie's question with the following. We left off in the middle before. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu... Rambam had closed up this section by talking about what are the segments, what are the categories of Torah Shebaal Peh. And he had said five. Perish HaMakubal, Halachim HaMashmin Sinai, Dinim that are learned out from Madrasha, Dinim Daraisa, learned from Madrasha. And then finally, he categorizes Dinim Drabbanan into two different categories. Xeris Takanas, take a look. Another way of thinking about it, which we started talking about before, is what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu teach Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai? A good Shavuos conversation. What did God teach Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai and over the course of 40 years in the Midbar? So the answer is four things, using the Rambam's categorization. Number one, the text of Chumash. Torah Shebichzav. All five Chumashim from Bereishis until Vezos HaBracha. Number one. Number two, number three, and number four are all Torah Shebaal Peh. Using the Rambam's categorization, the two different types of halachos of Moshe Sinai, the Perusha Mekubal, and the basic interpretation of each of the psukim, as well as this independent facts, like Shir Kazayis and so on and so forth. And then finally, the Midrash HaTorah addresses them. Because Baruch told Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm telling you in advance, Mechachmas HaMikra, I'm giving you a Mikra Mechukam, I'm giving you a intellectually profound text of Chumash, multiple layers of meaning embedded in it. Here are the tools that you and future Chacham Yisrael will use to extract those additional layers of meaning, which is a discovery process. We're seeking to, and that's why if you darshan something, it's a din daraisa, because that's Chacham Yisrael's best attempt to figure out what is God trying to tell us in the Chumash, as opposed to an asmachta, which is not working with the rules of drushes, which is just a remez. That's not a derivation. A real drusha is a derivation. I'm discovering a din, which is therefore a din deraisa. We can have machlokes. You might not think that's what Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling us in that passing. I think it is. So that's why we can argue, what is a din deraisa? A machlokes, love of deraisa, comes up all the time. B'shayim b'zillel. B'shach b'chav v'kumecha. Is that just telling me a time, or is it also telling me a physical posture? Machlokes, that's the mission in the first parak of Brachas. B'shayim held, you also have to lie down at night and sit up and be standing or sitting up a day. Basil said, no, that's not what the HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling me that passage. He's only telling me a time, not a physical position. That's a machok, the level of Daraisa, a machok is of interpretation. So those are the four pieces that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu over the course of 40 years are the text of Torah Shebichzav, independent halachas Moshe Mitzinai, Perushim halachas Moshe Sinai, rooted in the Chumash, Perushim HaKabbalim, and the Darchei Adrashas, the tools through which we will continue to discover more deep.
Why do Moshe sit down in the middle of the night and write everything?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Well, during the lifetime of Moshe Rabbeinu, he was focused mostly on learning from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when he gets a Shaila, when B'no Slavcha come with a Shaila, he says, let me go ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Imdu Veshma. Now, sometimes, the Gemara and Zvachim understands that there were occasionally machloks in drashas in the lifetime of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a remarkable thing. Darosh Darash Moshe Vinei Sarav, and on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, in terms of what Aaron and Elazar Yisrael are supposed to do, the Gemara and Zvachim understands that those psukim are saying there's machloks in drashas. But during the lifetime of Moshe Rabbeinu, it seems like the focus was, let me ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It was with the death, that's why Rambam had stressed earlier, with the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, we now shift. Mashayasu Yeshua Pinchas be'iyun hatalm be'iyun adinim hu sheyasu Ravina Ravashi. Fundamentally, that new style of a focus on darshaning, because we can no longer ask a navi for the din. That's the same whether you're in the days of Yeshua and Pinchas when there still is nevuah, or a millennia and a half, 2 millennia later in the days of Ravina Ravashi at the end of the 40 links in the chain.